Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
All right. What should we call this upcoming phenomenon? Where the Biden crime family is going to be in the crosshairs of an investigation. It actually already has been. All the evidence has already been collected. They're just waiting to get the subpoena power with Republican control of the House. And you've got a new book coming out from John Paul MacIsaac. He's the one where Hunter Biden left the laptop. And part of me still kind of, I don't know if it even matters. I mean, maybe it does. How is it that Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden both just happened to leave extremely compromising documents out there for the public to find? Like, really, that's just a coincidence? Did they do it intentionally? Are they really that inept and incompetent? But a book is coming out tomorrow. American Injustice, My Battle to Expose the Truth, about how when he reported the Hunter Biden laptop, the feds came after him instead of investigating the crimes on the laptop. But now you've got CBS News with their big Sunday night news special saying it's the Hunter Biden laptop, it's real, it shows all the crimes of the Biden crime family. Oh, really? We knew that 2 years ago. Wow. You guys are playing catch up, huh? 2 years after Biden gets into office, now you want to break that story? Gotcha. And then here's some of the response from the Democrats. Here's Zoe Lofgren on the issue with CBS in clip 10.
You sit on the Judiciary Committee. You just heard Rod Rosenstein say that he thinks the U.S. attorney in Delaware is sufficient in terms of being able to independently decide on what to do with Hunter Biden and that case. I wonder if you agree with that or if you think your Republican colleagues are right to ask for a special counsel to deal with the current president's son.
Well, I don't know anything about that case.
I doubt you know anything about anything.
But you have oversight of the Justice Department.
Yes. Yes, but we don't, you know, I serve with Mike Pence on the Judiciary Committee. We don't oversee and interfere with individual investigations and cases.
To.
That would be improper in terms of oversight.
We don't oversee. We're just the Oversight Committee. We don't do any overseeing of anything. We're just the Oversight Committee. Ah, thank you. Thank you. But here's Hakeem Jeffries, who denied that Trump ever won an election. So he's an election denier. And he says they're going to be defending Joe Biden in these upcoming days in clip 13.
Republicans announced this week their oversight plans, which include taking a look at the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the origins of COVID, the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago. I can see that there could be, theoretically, legitimate oversight questions on each of those topics that could be asked. Will House Democrats participate in these investigations in good faith, or do you see it as your role to defend the Biden administration?
Well, we will absolutely defend the Biden administration and his track record of success if it comes under assault by people attempting to politicize our governmental responsibilities, without question.
Yes, and this is just like how they denied inflation. They said there was no inflation. Then they said, well, there's a little inflation, but it's good for you. Then they said, well, it's inflation, but it's just temporary. And then it kept going. And so now what do the Democrats say? They say, well, what's the Republican plan for inflation? To get Democrats out. It's the plan. Get Biden out. That's the only plan you need. They don't need a plan other than to get you out of the way. But this is going to be the battle now inside the Republican Party. Establishment House Republicans oppose impeaching Joe Biden. Who's going to get control of the House? Well, if it's Kevin McCarthy in charge, I don't have much faith. And that's sad to say because Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I like and trust, has said Kevin McCarthy's the way to go. But is Kevin McCarthy going to allow the Republicans, forget about even impeachment, how about to just investigate the Biden crime family first? Let's get the subpoenas. Let's get into that laptop. Let's do investigations, and then let's do that right, and then maybe talk about impeachment. But the establishment Republicans are already trying to scuttle this before it even gets going.
We always have our biggest sales of the year in November and December. And 2022 is no different. But now as we reach the midway point in the month of November, it's very important to understand that we have almost all of our great InfoWars Live products in stock. But most of them are very close to selling out. We won't get more for several months, give longer. Some will take 3-4 months to get back in. We're talking about DNA Force Plus. We're talking about X3 from a Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Super Mel Vitality. The list goes on and on. But despite the fact that they're all selling out, I want to pass these savings on to you, and we need funds in to continue operating. So this is a year-end blowout sale. 2023 will be here before we know it. So do your Christmas shopping early, support the InfoWar, boost your immune system and your overall well-being at InfoWarStore.com with the up to 60% off sale with promo code 1776 at checkout. Get these great products while you still can and support the InfoWar. Thank you.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
I'm now joined by Alex Svetsky, and he is the author of the Uncommunist Manifesto. He covers crypto, Bitcoin, and he wants to come on to get into the latest with the FTX scandal. Here's some of the recent headlines. Senator Josh Hawley demands correspondence between federal officials and Democrat Party leaders following FTX collapse and why the scheme was only revealed after the midterm elections. FTX, Tether, the CIA, drug cartels, money laundering, and the Ukraine. And then I'm telling you, this is the one that's going to be used to distract us. Freaky FTX Sam Bankman-Fried and his girlfriend Caroline Ellison had unusual ideas about group sex. Yeah, folks, it wasn't just ideas, okay? And look, I don't want to be the one to reveal this because I just don't want to be the one to reveal it. But the fact that they're not making a bigger story out of the weird sex stuff and orgy stuff that they were doing tells me that they're holding that back. And so whenever the real crimes and money laundering and stuff is revealed, then they're going to distract you with the shiny object in their left hand and say, oh, did you know they were having orgies? There, look, here's a naked picture of Caroline. See? Oh, it's all already out there, and they don't really want to push that. It tells me they're intentionally holding it back. So, Alex, you cover crypto, Bitcoin. You're following the FTX story. I mean, we've got a lot of the details. I think the picture is becoming pretty clear to me on this scandal. So why don't you just talk about the big picture here, what you think this is all about, and with all the information we have, what is the conclusions that you've reached as far as the FTX scandal is concerned?
Owen, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back on InfoWars. Look, this is the big picture. I would argue, and many other Bitcoiners that I respect would also argue, that we've probably reached the state-level attack on Bitcoin. And if anything, that's what FTX may have been. So I met Sam back in 2021. There was a conference, a Bitcoin conference in Miami, and there was a little boat party that I went on, and I had a quick chat with him. And at that point, I had absolutely no idea who he was. He was this like weird guy that was sitting there eating like all the hors d'oeuvres, and I had a quick chat with him. And some dude told me, he's like, oh, he's the guy who owned FTX. And I said, what's FTX? And they said, oh, it's the fastest growing. The guy came out of nowhere, basically. Never heard of him before 2020. 2021 may have heard of him somewhere. And then out of nowhere came, you know, the second biggest exchange on the planet. And to me, what that means is that, you know, he was obviously funded by someone. As we've seen, there's, you know, money laundering, there's all this stuff, you know, money to Ukraine. You know, I mean, I've got one here where, you know, he was giving $20 million to COVID researchers. He was on a panel that was supposed to be upcoming with Zelensky, with Zuckerberg, with Janet Yellen. So these people are all part of the same little cabal. And the big picture thing to take out of this is that this vindicates the reason that Bitcoin exists, not crypto. There is a massive separation between those two. There is Bitcoin that lives here, which is money that no individual, no state, no institution, no corporation, no FTX, that nobody can touch. This is why people like Sam, they were crap that they say.
And they did, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and just so you know, we're on terrestrial radio, so we can't curse. It's okay, but just we can't curse on terrestrial radio. But FTX, they weren't actually doing any Bitcoin transactions, right? I mean, they were not working with Bitcoin.
No, they're an exchange. So they allow people to trade. So these things are designed to basically get people somewhere to gamble. That's completely the opposite of why Bitcoin exists. Bitcoin exists as money that allows people to save, immune from government confiscation, immune from inflation, immune from taxation, immune from all of the things that normal traditional fiat money is not immune from. Now, what happens is all these crypto people have popped up, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Solana, whether it's FTX, whether it's Binance. All of this crap is a distraction, kind of like what you said about the sex tape. It's a distraction to get people to not understand what Bitcoin is. Because the thing that the establishment fears the most is a people who have their wealth intact, whose wealth you cannot confiscate from them.
Yeah, and you know, this is more important. Because here's the problem that I think sometimes, and it's not any fault of their own, because it's a relatively new concept, a financial concept for people to understand why people support Bitcoin. And this is why my big problem with the Bitcoin community talking about whether it's worth $6,000 or $60,000, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it shouldn't matter whether it's worth $60,000 or $6,000. That might be a nice promotional thing for people to look at it. But at the end of the day, people need to understand it's a decentralized currency. It's all about getting government, getting central bankers out of the transactional process. So it's like, let's say you've got one stack of cash. You've got two stacks of cash. You've got one stack of cash here. You got one stack of cash here. And you say, okay, you get to pick which stack of cash you want. And you're like, okay, but hold on. This stack of cash is going to be controlled by a bunch of other people, and they're going to tell you how to spend it, where to spend it, how much you can spend of it, and they're going to take a little off the top every transaction. This stack of cash over here, you just take it, do whatever you want with it. Well, which stack of cash are you going to want? You're obviously going to want that's not going to be oversought, and it's not going to have the taxing and all of it on it. And so that's kind of, when I try to explain the concept of Bitcoin, and I'm not a big Bitcoin supporter, I like decentralized currencies, absolutely. But that's the big issue that people need to understand. That's why the state's attacking it. To get back to where you're at, that's why Bitcoin is under attack. That's why cryptocurrency as a concept is under attack, because the central bankers and the big governments need that control over the monetary policies, need that control over the money. Otherwise, they can't really enslave us anymore.
I mean, this is why they're pushing for CBDCs. If for those who don't know what that means, it's central bank digital currency. Now, the easiest way for them to launch CBDCs is actually going to be to partner with an institution or a foundation or an organization that is running a current cryptocurrency. The most likely one, in my mind, is going to be Ethereum. There's probably some other ones like, you know, Cardano and this and that that the government and the state is most likely to partner with. But this is why I always differentiate for people Bitcoin versus crypto. They are unrelated. Crypto is just digital fiat. That's it. And it's got far more in common with the US dollar or the euro or the Australian dollar or the yen or you name the government issued, coin, whatever you want to place in there. So it's important for people to realize sovereign money and not feeding your jailers is actually how you fight back. So when we talk about, just I want to also mention the piece that you said about the Bitcoin price. Now, money is supposed to, like, if you think about what money represents the collective product of society, right? It represents the time, the energy, and the natural resources within a society. And money is a technology or a tool that enables people to do a couple things. Number one is store that product, that value, transact that product, that value, and measure that. So it's kind of like a language of value. So when you think about that, you can't print time, you can't print energy, and you can't print physical resources out of nothing. So these things are all fixed and finite in nature. So a perfect money would also be fixed and finite in nature. And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is kind of like this perfect money that is fixed. It's immutable. You can't change it. And nobody can change the rules. In the same way as nobody can change time, nobody can change energy, nobody can change natural resources. This is what the establishment is most afraid of. And this is why they support, whether it's crypto, they'll support Ethereum, they'll support things like FTX. They'll, you know, when FTX blows up, everyone freaks out and they think the problem is Bitcoin, when the problem is what's happening here. That's why I say it's an attack on Bitcoin specifically, as is all of crypto.
Well, let's get into that on the other side of this break, because I do think this was an organic takedown of FTX. I don't think the deep state had origins of taking this down. Why would they? They were laundering so much money. But as we know, communists don't let a good crisis go to waste. So, of course, they're going to use this to attack crypto. Eventually, Bitcoin is going to be their biggest shark. But I feel like they're kind of not, they're treading lightly on the Bitcoin ground right now. Because they know Bitcoiners are really good advocates for crypto, and so they don't want to anger you guys too much, I've noticed.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Alex Svetsky wrote the Uncommunist Manifesto. You gotta like that. Got great reviews. You can read it for yourself. Find out why. And we're talking crypto, FTX crash, Bitcoin, and everything else. And so you got into the state attack on Bitcoin. You mentioned that in the last segment. Now, to me, from my perspective, I think that this collapse was organic. Now, maybe at some point in time, they did plan on riding SBF and FTX out as their controlled collapse to eventually go after crypto. But I think at this point, it was organic. I think the Binance guy calling SBF out was organic. And then the response has basically been the old, as you know, communist response, don't let a good crisis go to waste. So, of course, with it all crashing down, they're trying to take control of it. Do you agree with that analysis? Do you agree with me that this was an organic fallout? Or do you think this was a controlled fallout from the very beginning?
No, it was. So to clarify, I think FTX was a state-sponsored actor, but I think the collapse 100% was an organic thing because they had no money on the balance sheet. Like, so all that had to happen at some point was the leverage to crush them. Simple as that. Like, you can only it was the same thing that happened in 2008. You know, there's only so much you can basically, you know, play Icarus, right? You jump off a cliff, you think for the first 3 seconds that you're flying, and then gravity catches up and you're gone. So, you know, on a longer time scale, FTX was certainly a state actor, or at least, I shouldn't say certainly, seemingly a state actor because of the way it came out of nowhere, you know, $36 billion company out of nothing. That just doesn't happen magically.
Let's point out the obvious, too. I mean, Bankman-Fried and Caroline Ellison are both deeply tied to top political activists. They're both deeply tied to the Democrat Party. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the collapse, I think, was, as you said, organic. Now, the thing is, my guess was the state-sponsored attack component was that they would have known that this would fall over at some point, because you can't just, you know, create $36 billion out of thin air and think that it's going to last forever, right? So, you know, if you're an intelligent state actor, for example, you do this, you find a way to funnel basically $10 billion from someone else's pocket, funnel it to whatever you want to, launder it, and then when you know it inevitably blows up, you've got, you know, two prime candidates to throw under the bus, number one, and number two, you've got a scapegoat that you can blame, which is Bitcoin, and then they'll say, oh, but we need regulation, you know, so that way they can tie people up once more to stop them from being able to buy Bitcoin as much as possible. I mean, but the thing is, you know, as we know, the government's great at stopping things, not, you know, they couldn't stop alcohol, they couldn't stop weed, they couldn't stop anything, so the last thing on the planet they're going to stop is some code. So it's going to backfire them in the long run. But, I mean, you know, unfortunately, this is just going to scare off some people who think that the problem was with Bitcoin, not with these centralized platforms.
Well, Bitcoin investors like that because the price gets lower for them, and that's when you feel bullish.
Totally.
Now, you had mentioned you had met SBF, I guess it was at a crypto event you had met him. And look, you know, I want to be clear on something here because I'm getting some pushback and flack from this. Folks, I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. I'm not trying to be what's the word that I'm looking for here. When I talk about SBF and Caroline Ellison having learning disabilities or being on a autism spectrum, again, I don't say that to be rude or that, you know, I'm uncaring towards those people. That's not the case at all. But I think it's important to point that out, because what I think was going on here, and it's a sad thing to have to face, I think that these two were used to be the fall guys. Like you said, it's the perfect fall girl, perfect fall guy. Maybe don't really fully understand what they're getting into. They're young, you know, maybe have a learning disability, maybe on the autism spectrum, not really know what's going on, but flushed with all this cash, putting all this power, told by people in powerful positions, hey, it's all going to be great, it's all going to be good. And then it all collapses around them, and somehow Sam Bankman-Fried is still running around. He hasn't even been arrested. So I'm not saying that to be insensitive. I think it just shows how this whole thing was a money laundering operation from the very beginning, and SBF and Ellison were just put into these positions to be the fall guys and girls.
You should see a tweet that I put up earlier today, which is, you know, that death tweet where he's like going through each door and like, you know, killing a new head. You know, so you had Do Kwon, who was the one who blew up that stablecoin. Then there was Alex Mashinsky, Celsius, which all the Bitcoiners warned against. Now there's SBF. Who else looks and feels and sounds similar? Vitalik from Ethereum. There we go. That's the one. So it's the same archetype, same kind of person, you know, same kind of, you know, the basically the what they select them because they look like the Wonder Boy. You know, they're either on, you know, some the Asperger spectrum or the autism spectrum.
There's
and
a
they,
physiognomy.
They talk,
there's a clear physiognomy.
Physiognomy, thank you. Yes, yeah. Yes. So people that think that, you know, Ethereum and all these sorts of things are different, they're in for a rude surprise. I had a train of thought before just about the fixed supply money that I mentioned. And I just wanted to sort of give people, I wanted to tie that example off before we go down another path. But this is just for people to take this away, because I know listeners of this show will be probably very bullish things like gold, because, you know, it's been money for thousands of years, and we you know, it's an established form of monetary unit. But think about this. The first people who discovered gold, while the rest of the world was still using a mixture of salt and seashells and glass beads and other things like that for money, imagine what the value of gold was at that point in time. You could have found a big nugget of gold, and you wouldn't have been able to buy anything with it, because gold was valueless in the beginning. Now, what's important to note is that the reason gold emerged over thousands of years as the number one money, that civilizations from all around the world, you know, independently selected as money, was because it had superior properties for use as money. It was recognizable. It was extremely durable. It's the only inert metal on the planet that is inert at room temperature. It is extremely portable. It is very scarce. You can't just, you know, make it up out of thin air. You know, the alchemist's dream of, you know, creating basically, you know, soil into gold. So it had all these attributes, which meant that the whole world converged. And this is actually what appreciated the purchasing power of gold over about 5,000 years. So what people need to think of, this is the edge with Bitcoin, is that it is going to do what gold did in 5,000 years, maybe in 50. It'll monetize every single, like, it'll suck the excess monetization in every other asset class on the planet into itself as the entire world starts to look for a place to store the product of their labor, to store their savings. They want to put it in a place that is safe, secure, and has the ultimate properties where you can store money, can't be inflated, you can send it to whomever you want, and you can accurately know your proportion in relation to the whole. You can't do that with any other money, especially not some other, you know, altcoin. So it's just important to note, and I wanted to just tie that loose.
Close up on that. On the other side of this break, Alex Savetsky, author of The Uncommunist Manifesto. We'll be right back.
Of cutting this announcement, we are halfway into the month of November 2022. We're running the biggest sale of the year right through December, but many of our best-selling products will sell out in the next week to 2 weeks and will not be back in stock for at least 2 to 3 months. So now is the time to get up to 60% off exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com on amazing products like X3, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, DNA Force Plus, Ultimate
krill oil, ultimate fish oil. There are so many other incredible products available at InfoWarsStore.com. It would take an hour to list them all. My book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, unsigned copies and signed copies, again available at InfoWarsStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping early and support the InfoWar at this critical juncture for America and the future of the world. Again, the biggest sales of the year running now. Most of the products are still in stock, but not for long at InfoWarsStore.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, finishing up here with Alex Savitsky. Again, the book, The Uncommunist Manifesto, is his book. And then also, we'll figure out where you can follow him for all of his other crypto coverage, connecting dots that because I don't really follow the crypto stuff. I mean, obviously the FTX SBF thing has gone well beyond the realms of crypto, but to see the other cryptocurrencies that might collapse next and that long line that he showed in the last segment was certainly interesting to me. So final segment here, Alex. What else do people need to know? What do you think is going to be the final conclusion of the FTX SBF scandal? Why has nobody been arrested yet? I guess I would lead you into like this. In any other situation, when you have a money laundering operation like this, you would have at least one arrest, detainment, questionings, and you'd probably have at least one person sitting in a jail with a bail set at probably $10 million, maybe more dollars. None of that has happened. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been detained. Nobody's been brought in for questioning. And my theory is eventually they're going to come out. They're going to say, well, because people are going to be outraged. I mean, he's supposed to speak at a New York Times event in 9 days now. I mean, that's a joke. And they're still promoting it, too. They haven't even taken him off as the scheduled speaker. So I think what they're assuming at this point is that people are going to be so outraged that this crook is still out there and hasn't been arrested. And then they're going to come out and they're going to say, well, we can't do anything. There's no regulation on crypto. There's no regulation on digital assets. So if you want us to do something, you're going to have to get us to pass this law, and it's going to be a huge sweeping bill. Nobody's going to read it. And then all of a sudden, that's when, as you said earlier, the state attack on Bitcoin will commence. So your thoughts on that in conclusion here with us today?
I mean, you basically laid it out. I think I'll give you an example. So there was a guy who got arrested who was a developer. And all he did was build a protocol that you could take. It was similar to CoinJoin. So in the Bitcoin space, there's protocols like Wasabi and Samurai and Whirlpool that allow you to basically get multiple Bitcoin inputs, put them together, and split them out on the other end. It's called CoinJoin. And what it is, it's a way to enhance your privacy. So, like, let's say you've got a bunch of people who all have different amounts of money, and they put all their money into, like, they get all their change, chuck it all in one pile, and then on the other end, pick out the same amount of money that they had, but now it's all mixed up, so you don't know whose coins are what, right? So it's a privacy-enhancing thing. Now, the government, the state will tell you, oh, that's bad, that's money laundering or whatever, but no, it's just, I like to be private with respect to what my money is, and that it's my right to be private. Now, there was a guy who built a protocol called Tornado Cash, which was purely that. It was basically like a CoinJoin style implementation. Now, he didn't help anyone do anything. He just wrote some code and he got arrested. He didn't do nothing. He didn't take any money, didn't steal any money, didn't, you know, tell anybody what to do, didn't make any promises, didn't launder anything, nothing. He just created a protocol, and he got arrested. This guy went and, like, literally defrauded, and nothing. So, I mean, when you ask me what's the conclusion to all of this, him, I have no idea. You know, God knows what excuse they're going to make, you know, whether he's also going to hang himself like Epstein did or whatever the case is beyond me at this point. Nothing surprises me, but as you said, the issue is going to be the amount of regulation they're going to try and create. Now, here's the thing about regulation. The people who write the regulation are the ones who create the loopholes for themselves, right? That's effectively what it is. Like, you know, people who are stupid think that regulation somehow helps the little guy. But it's actually the opposite, because the way to help the little guy is to increase competition. So we actually, Mark and I discussed that in the book. We say that capitalism, natural capitalism, doesn't need regulation and doesn't create monopolies, because in a naturally capitalistic environment, what ends up happening is that all the small competitors eat away at the large player, and in the absence of a state that can help the large player build a moat, the large player is not agile enough to compete against 100 small players who eat around at them. So, in all the stuff that we have today, like, you know, the big tech companies that, you know, own 25% of the stock market, the big banks, etc., these are all a function. They're all downstream of the existence of a monopoly on violence and monopoly on the creation of money, which is the central bank and a central federal government. So they're going to want to create regulation. They're going to want to have their friends basically be the only licensed institutions to enable you to buy Bitcoin. I think they're going to have a hard time, though, doing that, because the challenge is that unlike a local or a domestic industry, Bitcoin is available to buy globally, internationally, in person, on the internet, here, there, everywhere. So it's going to be very difficult to kind of like try and suppress this. So I think they're going to have some challenges. I think they might make it harder for some people. But this is where individuals who are the people that I want to see holding Bitcoin, not the institutions, need to educate themselves instead of, you know, sitting around, you know, watching Netflix or anything like that. Go read about Bitcoin. Understand how Bitcoin works from a technical perspective. Understand what money is. Read the history of money. Go check out Saifedean's book, the Bitcoin Standard. Like, educate yourself on these things, because an educated, intelligent, wealthy citizenry are very hard to suppress. So that's kind of what I would say. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer on what's going to happen with FTX or SBF.
Now, I'm not the big crypto expert, but I would guess that theoretically the total adaptation of Bitcoin is what would be considered the ultimate success. And so wouldn't then in this time period they would want to deter people from buying into Bitcoin as a potential to replace the fiat currency?
Totally. So by doing this, by freaking people out and the price falling, what happens is that, you know, there's less quote unquote adoption. The interesting thing though with Bitcoin is that, see, people like me and the millions of other people who are understanding Bitcoin, what happens during these times, and this is where Bitcoin, if you look at the chart over the long term, it creates a new price floor every couple year cycle, right? Is that as you take Bitcoin off the exchanges, so when I buy some Bitcoin, I put it onto my cold storage wallet, I lock it up, and not even God can touch my Bitcoin. It's safe, it's sound. And I recommend people go and study and learn how to do that, how to move your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own custody. When you do that, there is less available Bitcoin on the market to be sold. And what that does is it creates the floor for the next upleg. And that's literally what happens every single cycle, is that a new group of people come in who have finally understood. They're like, holy crap, now I see how much of a stupidity crypto is. I see, you know, last time it was ICOs that blew up, and there was DeFi, there was JPEGs and NFTs, and every single cycle something blows up, right? Then a small portion of those people come out the other end and they're like, oh, now I understand why Bitcoin. And then they take what they have left and they move all their Bitcoin off exchanges. And that's what's happening. If you look at the actual charts of what's happening with Bitcoin, is that Bitcoin's coming off exchanges and going into cold storage. That limits the supply and it sets the base for the next run up. So what smart people do now is that they accumulate. They accumulate, they accumulate, they accumulate, and they get the benefit on the next run up. So yes, you know, in the short term, it hurts, but in the long term, this is one of the best things to have happened.
All right, Alex Savetsky, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, check out the book, The Uncommunist Manifesto. I think we can all agree with that. Get the dirty commies out of our money supply, and if that means having to adopt Bitcoin, then we'll just do that.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Offering new statements on the censorship and banishment from Alex Jones or against Alex Jones on Twitter. And so as Elon's statements come out, Alex Jones responds. Here is Alex Jones' response. His entire response can be found exclusively at band.video.
It's Monday, November 21st, 2022. I'm your host, Alex Jones. I'm about to exclusively respond to Elon Musk's vicious attack against me and what is clearly a threat. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he quoted Jesus Christ saying, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And then it follows, "When it's better for one to tie a millstone around their neck and throw themselves in the deepest ocean than to offend one of these." So one week he's in a Baphomet, the devil's champion outfit. And then a few weeks later, he's now quoting Jesus Christ. Well, beware, because the devil masquerades as an angel of light. Now, I'm not saying that Elon Musk is the devil. He's a provocateur, likes to play both sides of every issue. And overall, I think he's done some good things. He's also done some very troubling things. But coming up next segment, I am going to really expose what's behind all this and what's really happening at Twitter and the wider war of censorship that is taking place that really only InfoWars and a few people like Tucker Carlson have fully grasped what's actually happening. This is being run by intelligence agencies and the Justice Department illegally. They're having congressional hearings about it. It's all come out. I was the first to tell you about it decades ago, but now it's been radically expanded. And these direct scripts are being written and prepared and then given to PR firms
that give orders to the corporate media on how to carry this out. Now, obviously, Elon Musk has hired more PR firms than probably anybody in modern history. He's hired some of the PR firms that have been actually attacking me on for separate clients. So I hadn't blamed him for this up until this point, but he's definitely following their exact scripts that have been put out before, and it's very, very dangerous. Now, again, I know what Elon Musk is doing. I'm going to explain it all coming up in the next segment, so please stay with us. Thank you for joining us on this live Monday, November 21st, 2022 broadcast. I am your host, Alex Jones. I'm about to exclusively respond to some of the over-the-top statements against me by Elon Musk yesterday and today, and the fact that the vast majority of even leftist-controlled, infested Twitter has really woken up to what's happening and has saw right through what Elon Musk and the establishment is doing. So we'll put these tweets on screen, but he first said a few days ago from a bunch of requests from users, will you bring back Alex Jones? And he said no. He then had a poll and brought back Donald Trump because 1% extra in the poll wanted Trump versus those that didn't. They had similar polls with 300 plus thousand votes. The Hodge ones did, where I had a 10-point lead on the poll of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people wanting me to come back. But the point is that it's hypocrisy to say he's democratized it and is going to have votes decide who can come back and who can't, and that he's not personally invested, and then come out and release new tweets last night saying Alex Jones is a terrible person, Alex Jones made money off Sandy Hook, Alex Jones went and hurt these children. None of that is true. But I'm not going to get into the facts of what really happened there until the end of this segment. I want to talk about what Musk is doing right now. It is extremely, extremely transparent. Musk is trying to take over Twitter to create what he calls Internet X that goes back to where the Internet was freer and more open. Still doesn't mean it'll be perfect. He understands that the censorship is just killing interaction, killing debate, and making it a horrible experience, and he just wants to make it successful. That's a common sense and smart thing to do, just from a business perspective. It's what made America great. But the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Democratic Party, and the European Union, and the Justice Department and CIA moles that Congress had hearings on last week are inside of his company right now, and are literally trying to sabotage it, not just externally with threats of lawsuits and censorship and criminal charges from the EU, but they're also threatening to sabotage the company and the actual systems that make it operate. So he had an exodus out of the company. It was worse than he thought. There's questions if Twitter is even going to survive. He hit the panic button and basically came out and attacked me so that he can get the left off of his back. And, you know, that it's fine to me that he did that, except he went too far and compared himself to Jesus and the whole bring the children to me, suffer the children to me. And if you offend one of these, if you're mean to one of these kids, it's better for you to kill yourself by tying a big boulder to your neck and throwing it in the ocean. That's basically the translation from the King James. So that's just outrageous. That's absolutely outrageous that I'm supposedly the worst guy in the world because of media hype that massively has misrepresented what I really said about Sandy Hook, that, again, I'll get to in a moment. But here's the facts. So the bottom line is this. Elon bit off more than he could chew. He took over Tesla. He took over NASA. He's taken over all these programs, and I've given him credit. He's turned them around and overall done a great job. I've actually said, as someone being accomplished, I admire him. And I pointed out that I didn't expect to be reinstated at Twitter, and that if he could simply reinstate Trump, that'd be a great thing, because Trump is a candidate for the U.S. presidency, a very serious candidate who obviously had the last election stolen from him, and to not let him be on Twitter is massive election meddling. So that's a good thing Elon's done. And Elon is starting to clean up a bunch of the pedophilia and leftist pervert pedophile stuff off the site. So those are the positive things. And that's what makes it outrageous for him to just go with the official line with Democrat Party controlled judges that defaulted me and said that I did all these things I never did. And then I supposedly owe a $1.4 plus billion ruling of the judge and the kangaroo jury. And then he's just taking that at face value and saying I'm the worst person ever. Doesn't know that they took out of context what I said 10 years ago. Doesn't know I apologized before they ever sued me 5 years ago. but doesn't accept the fact that they say I owe $1.4 billion and that's not enough. The estate of Adam Lanza, who killed the kids, only paid a little over $1 million. But now, for my words, I'm the worst person ever, and I desecrated graves, and I dug up the children, and I harassed families. None of that's true. But the judge let them put on whatever fake evidence they wanted, and I wasn't allowed to cross-examine them. While I was already found guilty by the judge, they were just deciding how guilty. And now the Democrats are admitting they're going to use this template of judges defaulting conservatives and populists and get rid of our due process. So that's what's really going on here. As a people, we're being robbed by a corrupt global elite and the whole Davos Group crowd. Remember Obama bragging that he killed hundreds of innocent children over and over and over and over again, total, over 200 children in drone strikes, and said he was really good at killing kids? Biden just killed a bunch of innocent kids and says he doesn't care. Madeleine Albright, who was under the Clinton Secretary of State, bragged on national television that she tripled the sanctions on the Iraqis and killed 500,000 children and said it was a good price to pay. And when she died, they acted like Jesus had died. The corrupt war on free speech is being directed by these big corporations, and the perfect example of this is the NBA not allowing any criticism by their players or any criticism by the fans of communist China and the Uyghurs and all the rest of it. Literal death camps. And a major NBA owner, remember, came out and said he doesn't want to hear about the Uyghurs. They don't even register in his mind. So when you talk about people in slave camps and death camps having their organs harvested and worked to death at Apple Fox laboratories, that's okay because it's just Tim Cook's gay and he wears a turtleneck and talks effeminately. But when Alex Jones questions a mass shooting, when the rest of the internet does, why, it is the ultimate crime in history, and now all populists need their free speech taken and need to be punished. Heading up this whole global move to censor is the ADL. They're censoring in Europe. They're censoring in Australia. They're censoring in Canada. They're censoring here in the United States. They decided to get censored. And now Albert Bourla last week got an award from the ADL for fighting hate. And they said that anyone at any time that questions in any way any of the shots or if they're effective or anything is a criminal, is an agent of evil, he said, and needs to be censored and debanked and taken off the internet. And that's really the big story we're talking about here right now. It came out months ago, came out years ago, but months ago, and a few weeks ago, even more, in The Intercept, how Homeland Security has been secretly meeting with big tech and big banks and big corporations and a group of leftist think tanks and, quote, watchdog groups who surveil what we say on the internet and who decide who can speak and who can't. And one of the things you get censored for is questioning the Afghan withdrawal, or questioning the poison shots, or questioning a stolen election, or questioning an open border, or questioning inflation. This is the ruling class trying to silence us and trying to engage in such a criminal, organized fraud and legitimizing it by making it all about Alex Jones and how evil he is, and so legitimizing the entire process to then be carried out and used against you and your family or your company or your business. And of course, others have pointed out the other big elephant in the room, all the dictators and all the mullahs and all the war criminals that all have their Twitter accounts because, well, they're world leaders. We've got to be able to hear from them. And mostly,
did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can't. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.